Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now this morning we will be looking at something very simple, but not so simple. You know, some things look simple, but sometimes they're not simple. We want to look at, when is a man saved? When is a man saved? From little experience I have, I call it little because it's little, it took me a while to pinpoint the exact day that I received salvation. At the point I had eight dates. I felt, no, it must have been this day. No, it couldn't have been this day, because after this day, I don't think I looked saved. I said, must be this day. After having come out for what we used to call the altar calls, sometimes in a month, four times, a single altar, same animal, four times. And you see, most of the time, why that happens, or happens, is a result of false teaching. Or wrong teaching. Because when I say false teaching, it may look too strong, though it's the same thing. So let's call it wrong teaching. Some guys prefer you call what they are saying wrong teaching than call it a heresy. So I think it's just good to be diplomatic, not necessarily the fruit of the Spirit. So we call it wrong teaching. You rather than call it error, you say it's not correct. Am I trying? You know, because when I say that was an error. I said, no, it's just not correct, or it's not scriptural. You know, nice things like that. So I've heard a couple of things later on when I began to understand what redemption was and salvation. Then the most unlikely date was the one I found out that I was actually saved. The most unlikely of the days, which was actually the first one. You know, oftentimes you probably will say, well, I was still trying at that point. And sometimes it's a wrong teaching, most of the time it's a wrong teaching that makes many believers not even know. If I were to do a poll here now, and I ask you, when did you get saved? Some of you will just do what the Yorubas call Ogboju. I was saved, and sometimes you pray and you go, oh, are you sure? I was saved, and you know, you begin to say, someone say, well, I imagine a friend who we shared convictions together years ago. We're not talking about, you know, we're just talking. He said, you know, the day I know, I mean, you know, from the subconscious, the day I know that I truly began to walk with God, I say, M-O-G. This is not a live body. Truly. Just like your child saying, the day I know you truly gave back to me. What the day? You know, so most of us times it's because we don't even know, or we didn't know what salvation really was, and that affects our understanding and about, you know, the faith. And then without that, you may also have doubts when you preach to people. And then you go back to check on them, and then you say, you feel like leading them to Christ again. Am I right? You say, come. You must have deceived me that day. Praise the Lord. I had a sermon I preached back then. I won't tell you the title. But that sermon, by the time I'm done with you, you just give me your salvation. I'll say, come on, give it to me. You know. John 1:12, when is a man saved? When? Now, John 1:12, this is John writing about Jesus. He says, From verse 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He said, the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Then he says, in Him was life, the life was the light of man. And he says, the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't comprehend it. Then he says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear, same for a witness to bear witness of the light. But all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that lighted every man that cometh into the world. I want us to take verse 10 together. Let's go. Verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Notice that the world knew him not. Pay attention to that. Verse 11. He came unto his own. Let's go. And his own received him not. Is that so? The world knew him not. Then he says, unto his own. That's Israel, definitely. And his own received him not. Okay? So look at verse 12. Let's go, everybody. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So he says, as many as received him, to them gave he the power, that's the word rights, exousia, a privilege. In other words, he's, don't forget again, that verse of scripture is referring to the four gospels. That's not the epistles. We're not given rights to become the sons of God in the epistles. In the epistles, we have received the spirit of sons. Is that okay? Is that okay? But you see, because Jesus was yet to be raised from the dead and die, and then be raised from the dead, what they had was a privilege to become. So that verse is not you and I. That verse is for the people in the four gospels. Because you see, we said he came to his own. That's the incarnation. And his own received him not. But as many as received him in the four gospels, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. How many of you understand what I just said now? Let me see your hand. Raise your hand if you do, please. So I can. So that's the four gospels. That's not you and I, alright? So, but notice the key thing there. It calls receiving him believing. Even to them that believe on his name. Now the word believe is the word pistuo, where you have faith, pistis. It means that you rely upon. That's what it means. You rely upon. So it says as many as believe on his name. Now, notice that the difference, there's a difference in here, and I want you to get this right. Because, again, without trying to be harsh, there are a couple of things that people preach from the pulpits in some places, and then they ask people to come out for altar calls, but that's not salvation. And you see, notice, as many as received him. He didn't say, as many as received a miracle. That's different. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. What is his name? Verse 13 tells you what his name is. He's not born of the will of the flesh, or the will of man, or blood, that's Jesus, but of God. Then verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld him as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, that's not getting a miracle, because there were people in the four Gospels, if a majority in the four Gospels, believe in the anointing on Jesus, in the sense of they believe in his healing ministry, but did not believe in his person. They believed in what he did, but not his person. Because whenever you use the word believe, Believing what? Now, let's see a couple of scriptures quickly. Look at Matthew 8. And this will make a lot of sense for you. Matthew chapter 8. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, you find there was a centurion, for example, who asked Jesus to come to his house to heal his servant in verse 6. Oh, sorry, he said his servant was homesick. And Jesus in verse 7 says, I'll come and heal him. The man said, you don't have to come. I am a soldier. Well, I'm a sinner. That's the first thing he said. You can't come to my house. You don't have to come to my house. But he said, I'm a soldier. In verse 9, I have soldiers under me. I say to one, go, he goes. I say to one, come, he comes. I say to one, do this, and it is done. Just speak your word only. And Jesus says in verse 10, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. So the man understood the place of authority. But this, what the man did here, the fact that he expressed knowledge, implicit confidence as well, in what Jesus could do to heal his servant, is not the same as salvation. Now, when that happened, he went to the house of Peter, and he saw Peter's mother-in-law who was sick of fever. And scripture says that he laid his hands on her. In verse 15, he touched and she was healed. In verse 16 says, when the evening was come, they brought unto him men that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirit with his word, and healed all that were sick. That it might be fulfilled that was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself, took our infirmities and bore our sickness. And then the great multitudes came to him in verse 18. This is not salvation. What happened here is not the same thing as John 1:12. You need to get that. It's not the same thing. Because the issue in John 1:12 that we read earlier was in healing. The issue in John 1:12 was in him was life. And the life was what? The light of man. That was the issue in John 1:12. So, here, the subject matter of faith was what? Huh? Talk to me, guys. What? That's the subject matter here. Healing was the subject matter. Look at Mark 5. The woman with the issue of blood. Mark 5. She heard of Jesus. Mark 5. Verse 34, verse 25 to 34, she heard of Jesus, and then she came in behind the press that she might touch his clothes, for she said, if I, verse 28, may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Healing. Now, what did she hear about Jesus? The Bible tells us that there was a message that was preached about Jesus, Acts 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. That was the message. In other words, you discover that in the four Gospels, alright, that was what they heard about Jesus. So that's why they would say, come and heal my servant, and I'll touch your clothes, I'll be healed. So when you read about faith, you discover that having faith for healing and having faith for miracles is not exclusive to believers. Receiving healing is of God. Receiving a miracle is of God. But receiving healing and receiving a miracle is not salvation. This has confused many people. That's not salvation. Look at something now. Look at John 6. I want this to be very simple. So, I reduce the content deliberately. John 6, so that you'll understand in a very simple way. John 6. Now, the background of what I'm about to read to you in John 6 was that Jesus just, in John 6, he just multiplied 5 loaves and two fish. He multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish in John 6. So, look at verse 13. I want us to read verse 13 and verse 14 together. Therefore, come on, let's go. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that shall come into the world. Notice that. That's what they said. They said, this is of a truth that prophet that shall come into the world. Then when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him depart again into matter himself alone. And then when he was now come, his disciples went down to the sea, and then they began to speak. So in verse 22, the first day, the second day, people stood on the other side. They saw there was none other boat. And then they came to Jesus. You know, people came to Jesus. And then verse 25. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, where do you come from? Then he began to talk to them. Look at verse 26. I want us to read 26 together. Let's go. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. 27. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Look at verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might walk the works of God? Verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. And then look at the next thing they said. These are people who just received miracles from him. What sign shows thou then that we may see and believe thee, that thou doest work? 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert of Israel. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then verse 32 he says, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life unto the world. Then he says in verse 51, let's take verse 35 together. I am the bread of life. Let's go, come on. I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. Can you see it makes a distinction? Can you see it? You do see the distinction here? About the miracles and receiving him. See, I am the bread of life. You and I know very well that he's not talking about the bread he just ate. Right? That's clear enough, right? Oh, because sometimes you need to say it. So it didn't say you just ate me. No. I am the bread of life. In other words, he's saying, look, the miracle is different from having faith in me for eternal life. You can take the bread, and he says, in fact, let's look at something he says. He says, alright. Look at verse, let me just check the verse, okay, quickly. Verse 48 again. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Can you imagine that? He says, and they are dead. So, he says to you, I'm not talking about physical bread. I'm talking about life. Me. So, you can surely get bread from Jesus and not take of the bread of life. I hope that's right. Is that correct? So, if you come to Jesus, let me use that term, to solve a problem of hunger or sickness or problems, just any kind of problem, you know, is that salvation? No. That's not salvation. That's not eternal life. You can get miracles in a program. You can come to Jesus to help you solve your marriage problems. You can come around to receive healing, which is of God. But that's not salvation. So, you know, that needs to be clear. That the fact that you have faith in God for something and you get it is not the same as faith for salvation. I've taught this over and over again. So you can believe not, despite the fact that you ate the bread. Let's add one more. John 6. You can even work miracles in His name and not be a believer. Look at John 6. Look at 59. Let me read from 58. Let's take it from 58 together. Let's go. This is that. Come on, let's go. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eats of this bread shall live forever. Come on, let's keep reading. 59. This thing said he, the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. 60. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying, who can bear? These people follow him. So they said, look, it's a hard saying. Verse 61, let's go, 61. When Jesus knew himself that his disciples murmured, he said unto them, let's go, does this offend you? 62. What? And if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before. 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you are spirit and are life. 64. And there are some of you that what? My God. You know, it's interesting. You know, they're following him. They go from program to program with him. He says, there are some of you here who don't believe. Are you still there? Some of you. Look at the next verse. Let's go. For Jesus knew from the beginning, come on, go, who they were that believed not and who should betray him. So, in other words, there were people who followed him and didn't believe. Look at verse 66. Come on, let's go. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast what? Thank you very much. We have what? The word of eternal life. Not power, miracles. The words of eternal life. Now, you realize that part of those who went away cast out devils. Right? Is that right? Part of those who went away healed the sick. Was that right? Very good. Were they believers? No. But were they believers in miracles? Yes. So, look at Matthew 7. Glory to your name, Father. We give you praise. Matthew 7. Verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, how do you enter into the kingdom of heaven? This is not when you die. This is not when you die. Jesus said in John 3:3, except a man be born again, right? He cannot enter, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then in verse 5, except a man is born of the Spirit, that's the water and which is the Spirit, he doesn't enter into the kingdom. So, is that clear? Is that clear? Then he explains it in 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believed in him shouldn't perish, but has everlasting life. Believe in him, what do you mean believe in him? Believe in him when he's raised from the dead. Then you have eternal life. That's what 14 to 15 talks about. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man will be lifted up, and whoever believed in him should not perish. John 3:14-15. So, He said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven, they say. Notice, and he say, he that keeps doing the will of my Father. As he says, no, that's not what he said. He that does the will of my Father. So let's go further. Many will come to me that they say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils. We have people in the Old Testament, for example, who prophesied and didn't believe. And cast out devils in thy name. And done many wonderful works. Was Judas one of these people? Huh? Was Judas one of these people? Yeah, Judas didn't believe. But he cast out devils. That's what Jesus says here. Then he says, and I'll profess unto them, I what? And so he's not talking about people who lost their salvation. For those of you who like, who hear about losing it, lost but found salvation. He says, but I never knew you. Depart from me, you that walk iniquity. In other words, you that walk disobedience. That's what he's saying. Therefore, whosoever what? Hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came. And don't forget, the rock is just one person. Who is the rock? Christ himself is the rock. Okay? Because his words are about himself. The words of salvation. Let's go further. And the rain descended and the floods came. And the winds blew and beat upon the house. And it fell not because... Why did it not fall? Simple. Because of the rock. Right? Come on now, you're there. Come on, are you following this? Because of the rock. And everyone that hears the sins of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house. It fell, and great was the fall of it. So in other words, Jesus is talking about those who hear his words and don't have faith in him for salvation. Was that very possible? Was that possible? Come on, was that possible? Did that happen to his own disciples? Exactly. So, that's very clear. Salvation is faith in Christ for salvation. like tautology. Faith in Christ for salvation. So you have that kind of example. People can receive miracles. They can even cast out devils in the name. In Luke 9:49, they came to him and told him about a certain fellow who was not part of them, but he was casting out devils. And Jesus said, don't stop the man. If he's not against us, that means he is for us. Luke 9:49. So it's very possible to have people do that. And they follow Jesus. They get the miracles. They get the signs and wonders. But they're not saved. Praise God. Lord, help me! Many times the disciples said that. They mean they believed in him. They wanted him to help them. Lord, intervene into my circumstances. You know, stuff like that. It doesn't mean you've got faith in him. But he's going to bail you out. But that's not salvation. Still out there? Are you there? Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Glory to his name. Are you following this at all? Hebrews chapter 4. Now, you know the story of the Jews. They were with Jesus. Did I say that? Obviously, they were with Moses, right? For 40 years. How many of you in your life, just your life, I'm trying to ask you a simple question. You can raise your hand, you might not. You have seen the kinds of miracles that the Jews saw in 40 years. Those guys saw miracles. They had the sea parted right before them. I've crossed the sea before, but via a sheep. You get it? You know, I won't cross the sea. Yep. The rod of Moses, my God is a miracle God. My God is a miracle God. He will never change. He can never fail. He will do what he says. That's how they cross, right? Why are you looking at me like that? He will do what he says. I can see him walking in my favor. Is that wrong? Oh. Fighting on my battles. I've forgotten the song. I don't know the song really. He will do what he said he will do. And he crossed like that. And as they crossed the sea and got the miracles, and you say, is it a pillar of fire by night? The pillar of cloud by night, pillar of fire by day. The night or the day. Day and night. And as they passed, as they got over, I said, woo! Woo! Onisha, Iyanu. You know, as they crossed over, they said, Moses! Take us back to Egypt! Take us back to Egypt! So come on, you should have left us in Egypt. At the point they said, we are missing onions. I've never seen that kind of request before. Oh my God. I don't like onions, but they said they were missing onions and maybe garlic. 40 years! They moved and there was provision for 40 years. Imagine seeing miracles every day of your life for 40 years. It's not a proof of salvation. It happens that the more miracles they kept seeing and not believing the message that Moses gave to them, the more hardened they became. Hebrews chapter 3. Are you there? Okay, I said Hebrews 4, but let's take Hebrews 3 first. Hebrews 3:17-12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you what? Hebrews 3:12. Any of you what? An evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So Hebrews 4:1. Come on, let's take it together. Hebrews 4:1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise be left of us, lent into his rest. Any of you should seem to come short of it. Verse 2. For unto us was the gospel, come on, let's take it again. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he has said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall not enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Hold on now. So, in other words, the miracles was not the gospel. Come on. Am I making any sense here? The miracles wasn't the gospel. The gospel is not a miracle, it's a message. It was a message. And you know another thing about the Jews, you know, they kept offering sacrifices of sin. So confessing your sins every day is not the gospel. Be careful. Oh Lord, we've done wrong. Oh Lord, have mercy on us. And they did all that. And they got the miracle. And they got the signs. And they got the wonders. And they had children. I think they had children, really. Those guys multiplied quickly. They took a whole lot of glory from Jacob. Now, pew! Wow! But, verse 2, the word preached did not profit in that it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. Are you there? So, the miracles were there. The message was there. Just like the Jews, they didn't believe. Was it possible to be a disciple of Jesus, to heal the sick, to cast out devils, and not believe the gospel? Let me ask you one more. Was it possible to be a disciple of Jesus, heal the sick, cast out devils, and not know who he was? Look at Matthew 16. What's our subject again? When is salvation? So you're about to know when you receive salvation or if you have not. You know, there was someone like that. We were having fellowship in 2004 or so, three. She's already a pastor. So I was sharing with her. She said, "Pastor, can you lead me to Christ?" I said, No. She said, No. Ever since I started listening to you, I'm wondering whether I was saved at all." Now, the interesting part was this, and I must mention this, that there was someone else that she had as a disciple who was an HOD in the church. And they were doing church programs. And then she brought the lady to me, that the lady has refused to speak in tongues. So I interviewed the lady. Some of you know the story, because she was once a member of this church. I interviewed the lady, and then she said, "Let me tell you the truth. I'm not a believer." I was in shock. It's not my first time. So, right in the house we're in, I led her to Christ. She's already HOD in church. She mentions Jesus. But everything you're talking about, she just... You know, man can be religious. Religiously irreligious sometimes. Some guys say, "I don't believe in God, religion." I said, "That's a religion on its own. I don't believe in God. That's faith in itself." Praise God. You get it? So, I led her to Christ. So, she said, "Pastor, can you lead me to Christ?" I said, I believe that you're born again." He said, "Don't stress yourself. Just pray with me." So, I said, "All right." We held hands. It was in front of a New Life Chapel. And I said, "Christ Jesus died for my sins. Christ Jesus." And she was serious. I was not. Because I felt... "I believe that you are born again," but, you know, she just did that. So sometimes you need to ask yourself, really? No. Did you hear the gospel at all? You know, Matthew 16. How some of you just pausing, calm down? Nothing scary, just the word. Matthew 16, are you in church? Are you in church? Come on, look at this. Matthew 16. Verse 13, when Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" That's quite a question. You know, who do they say I am? Now look at the hefty revelations that flooded the minds of men. Verse 14, some say thou art John the Baptist, probably the craziest of all, because I thought John the Baptist was beheaded a few days before. But human beings can believe anything. Others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Well, everybody is entitled to their revelation. To you, he may be your righteousness. To somebody else, he may be his protector. But to me, he's my Alpha and Omega. It's my, you know, we talk like that. We think we're making sense, right? You think you say, well, some people can look at a mountain and see a monkey. How about you look at a mountain, you see an elephant. And I see a mountain, you see a tortoise. There's no mountain that would love to be seen as an elephant. If you see a mountain as an elephant, you're having the wrong view. Praise God. How can someone come to you and say, "Well, from my revelation, you're a dog"? So, well, that's deep. You give the person a knock or something, you know. So some say, you know, then he said unto them, "Who do you say I am?" My God. His own people. And then Peter spoke up and he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of a living God." He said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind in earth shall bind in heaven, whatsoever you shall loose in earth shall be loosed in heaven." So in other words, he makes it clear by asking, "What do you people say that I am?" Now look at something that happened later. In verse 21, Jesus now says to the Saint Peter, listen carefully to this. He says, "Look, I will be killed by the scribes, the chief priests and the elders, and be raised the third day." You know, I thought Peter would say, "Glory! That's, I mean, that's the next thing. You'd have thought he just had a revelation. Say, oh, Peter, say, my God, thank you, Jesus, thank you. Mumbarabogosabraga, thank you. Oh, thank you for saving me. Peter said, in Jesus' name I bind you, Jesus. That's what he said next. In other words, the most critical truth about Jesus, he didn't know. Verse 21 was the most critical truth about Jesus. Verse 21 is the gospel. Let me see if you understand what I'm saying here. Come on. You get it? Verse 21 is the gospel. Then he said, Don't be packing. Every spirit of it in your mind, I cast it out. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Praise God. For thou savorest not the things which be of God, but those things which be of men. You are an offense unto me, he says. Hallelujah. Let me ask you. So did Peter at this point, had he believed the gospel?
You are quiet.
Had Peter believed the gospel at this point? No, 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 and oh no. John 13. When is salvation? That's the question, right? Or should you put it like this? When did I get saved? That was more interesting, right? I know nobody uses this term in this church. When did I give my life to Christ? I've seen a couple of you drop it by the wayside. I think it's a joke, so I don't respond to it. So I gave my life to Christ. I'm wondering, are you a member of Saints Community Church? You gave your life to Christ to do what for you? To rebrand it. I'm looking at you and saying, John 13. Let's start John 14. Let not, he's talking to his disciples, man, see what he says. He's talking to his own disciples, his main man. John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Eh? To his own disciples. Then he says, look, in my Father's house there are many mansions. The Master Allah told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And he's going, Verse 5, Thomas. Whether you go with him, how can we know? Then he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Henceforth you have known my Father. And then Philip says, huh? Show us the Father. This is graduation day. He had been with them 3.5 years. See the question they are asking. Show us the Father. Where did you keep him? He said, Philip! That's my own translation. Have I been so long time with you and you have not known me, Philip? Can you see this? Philip! He that has seen me has seen the Father and shows that he will show us the Father. Then he says in 11, believe me! Can you see? Believe me! Believe me! Believe me! I am in the Father and the Father in me, for verily I say, believe me for the very work's sake. Verily I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than this shall he do, because I go to my Father. At this point, he's talking to them about his death, and assuring them that he will be raised from the dead. That's still the one that, this is the most crucial reason why Jesus came. How come? They're learning this on the last day of camp meeting. The very last day. And he began to talk to them about the comforter. And they said, after healing the sick, come on. And casting out devils, And everything he asked them to believe, or we're about to see, the Old Testament saints had believed it already. Is that true? Is that not true? Everything he asked them to believe, the Old Testament saints had already believed it. Hello. Rema is right. In chapter 16,
So he takes them to a faith lesson, a faith class. You gotta believe. Verse 29. Come on, let's say 29 together. John 6. Are you there? So let's go. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speaks thou plainly and speaks no parable. Let's take 30 together. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things. And needs not that any man should ask thee, by this we believe that thou comest from God. Look at verse 31. Do you now believe? We're not done, oh. Calm down. These are his own folks. These are his disciples. Then dead cast out devils and raise the dead. And then go, look, they didn't raise the dead, you know. I'm not sure about that. But they cast out devils. Hello! Ah! Ah! Yahoo! Yahoo! They did all that, but they didn't know him. They didn't know him. His own disciples. So we'll need to find out, when did they believe? Yet the Old Testament saints believed what they were trying to grapple with. Hebrews 11 verse 1. The Old Testament saints. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You know by that what that means anyway. The evidence of things not seen, that's the Old Testament sin, right? The substance of things that will be done by Jesus. The evidence of things that will be done by Jesus. They saw it. By it the elders obtained a good report. Verse 2. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God. That the things that were seen were not made with things which do appear. By faith, Abel. What Abel believed about 2,000 years before, they were finally had to grapple with. Abraham believed that. Abraham did. Noah did. Enoch did. Moses did. Hallelujah. And then those folks who were with him, they didn't get it. Jesus, Jesus. What's he talking about? They were trying to grapple with that. Even Samson. Shamo, Shamo. Samson, the man who committed suicide. You know that's what he did? Some guys don't want to hear that. He committed suicide. He's called an elder of the faith. Not the suicide. Not by suicide, but by faith. Abraham, the adulterer, the man who traded his wife for money, he's there. David, the murderer, and adulterer. Two-edged sword. He's there. Moses, the murderer and serial husband. Anger personified. He's there. Isaac, just like his dad, uses his woman, his wife, for pecuniary purposes. He's there. Let's leave Jacob alone. It's not fair. They were all there. One more person is there. Rahab. Let me check it now. It was left. Rahab the prophetess. No. Something funny. He says, you know, the new covenant doesn't find fault. Oh, Jesus. This is so great salvation message. If I say it here, some guys just say, what did you just say? I said nothing. Hebrews 11:31. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And he mentions Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, Samuel, and all the prophets. My God. He said, by faith, they awaited the promise of Christ, something the disciples were grappling with. Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed in the Lord, and that became righteousness.
Just once. Genesis 15:6. He became righteousness. Genesis 15:6. What did Abraham believe? Abraham believed in God. Calm down. What did Abraham believe? Abraham believed in God. What exactly did he believe? Galatians 3:8. Look at it. For the scriptures foreseen that God will justify the eating through faith, preached before what? Come on. The gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee, that is in Christ, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So what did Abraham believe? What did Abraham believe? What is the gospel? Christ raised from the dead. Glory to God. Romans 4:25. He was delivered up for our offenses. Raised up for what? Our justification. That's why Paul will say in Romans 4:1. What has Abraham, our father, aspired into the flesh? What has he found? He said if what he had was by works, then he would have nothing to say but the glory to himself. But he said, look, the Bible says Abraham believed in God, believed in the Lord, believed God. It was accounted to him, Romans 4:3, for righteousness. Romans 4:5. It says, God, who justifies the ungodly? That's scandalous. That is scandalous. You know ungodly? What's ungodly? Ungodly. What's ungodly? Ungodly. God justifies the ungodly by faith. How many of you have become around for so great salvation? Oh my God, you need to be saved. Come around. Salvation is a subject we will learn till the end of this life. Praise the Lord. So important. So he believed the gospel. Matthew 26, verse 28. This is my blood, or the cup of my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the sins, or for the remission of sins for many. So the gospel is not healing. There's healing as a miracle when the gospel is preached. The gospel is not provision of material things. That's not the gospel. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3. What is the gospel? How Christ died for our sins according to what? The scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3. How Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. How he was buried and raised again the third day according to what? So what is the gospel? How Christ died for our sins. How he's raised from the dead for our sins. That is the gospel. Are you there? That's the gospel. That's what Abraham believed. That's what Abel believed. That's what Noah believed. And that's what Rahab believed. The gospel. The good news. So, the gospel is not, God is going to take me places that I've never been before. That's an airline. That's not the gospel. The God of double promotion. Jehovah double double. Everything now double double. Now double double. I heard that song one day and I said, this is, we like to just, we think praise worship is just singing your excitement. Everything na double double, na double double, salvation na double double. I heard that. That's exactly what I heard. You've heard it before. Na double double, na double double. You think you're singing for one Yoruba chief? You say, ah, na double double. Come on now, Matthew 26. So is it clear that even the people who existed, who were here, the saints, before the disciples, believed the gospel? What they were trying to grapple with, they had believed it. Matthew 26. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? So is it possible to go around Jesus and hear him preach and get miracles and not be saved? Very good. Matthew 26. is when you hear what he said, and then you have faith in him. Believe, build upon this rock, then you will be saved. Matthew 26. Matthew 26? 28, sorry. Look at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away unto Galilee, unto a mountain where Jesus appointed them. Verse 16, Matthew 28. Matthew 28, 17. He says, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Part of his disciples. Part of the 11, without it. Mark 16, 14. Mark 16, 14. Let's take it together. Mark 16, 14. Are you there? Let's go. And afterward he appeared unto 11 as he sat at meat and upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. Why? Because they believed not them that had seen him after he was risen. Come on. Not just the fact that he didn't believe he was going to rise from the dead before he died. When he now rose from the dead and they now told them they did not believe. Come on. Are you there? So, were they saved at this point? No, they were not. They couldn't have been. So, what now happened? Luke 24. When is salvation? It's not the first time you heard about Jesus. And it's very likely that maybe your parents, if they were Christians, when I mean Christians, I mean Christians. You know when I say Christians? They must have punished you with Jesus. Sit down there! My mom give me a Bible to read as punishment. Read this out, punishment. You can be Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallelujah be your name. And parents can be. That's a mistake. You don't use the gospel to threaten your kids. You give them a wrong impression about God. Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes unto you. Come on, come on. I wonder, there are no hills here. Luke 24. All right, now. And then his own disciples were with him. They were there in the hills of Emmaus. Verse 13. Two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 3 furlongs. And they talked together all these things that happened. Those are his disciples. Then it came to pass they communed together and reasoned. Jesus himself, verse 15, drew near and went with them. But their hearts were holding that they shouldn't know him. Then he said, what manner of communications are these that you have one with another as you walk and are there? And then they said, one whose name was Cleopas answered, are you a JJC in Jerusalem? That's my translation. Verse 18. And you don't know the things that have come to pass there in these days? Jesus is watching them and says, what things? They're talking to Jesus concerning Jesus of Nazareth. See teaching. See what they called him. Which was a what? Which was a prophet? These are your people. Which was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the covenant of death and have crucified him. We trusted that he had been Jesus, redeemed Israel. And beside all this today, the third day since those things were done. Yea, I said, the women also of our company made us all stories which were earlier at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels. We said he was alive. And then the Jews went to the sepulchre and found it even as, find not even. And even so, as the woman has said it, but him they saw not. See teaching. Then he said, oh fools. Isn't that abusive? It's being descriptive. Oh fools and slow of heart. To what? To what? To what? To believe. All that the prophets have spoken. Now look at the gospel. That's the gospel now. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expired unto them in all the scriptures. What? The things concerning himself. So, what did he rebuke them about? Not to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Has he said that? The Bible tells us. As he continued with them, they didn't know. As he gave them bread, he vowed to ascend, verse 31. Look at verse 32 together. Verse 32, let's go. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? While he what? Opened. The word to open the scriptures there means, like when you say you launch a building, you launch a product. For the very first time, they saw what the scriptures meant. For the very first time, it opened to us. We saw for the first time. So, by the time he was done, he goes to his disciples. They go to disciples. Look at verse 34. 33. They rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them. Let's take verse 34 together. Saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and had appeared to Simon. And he told us those things that were done in the way, and how they had known of them in the breaking of bread. So, they saw it as he opened the scriptures to them. Then again, he now was with the same number, the same 11, and again, he began to share the scriptures with them. 44. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Come on, let us take verse 45 together. Then open he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. What did he open to them? Verse 46. Thus it is written, thus it behold Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead, when? The third day. So he opened their understanding. For the first time, and they saw the gospel. So you ask the question, what then were they preaching? Obviously not the gospel. So notice something that is critical. That means you cannot believe outside the scriptures. Is that clear enough? Is that clear? Seeing Jesus is not the same as salvation. Having a vision of Jesus is not the same. You must believe the message of the scriptures. So, having a vision of Jesus, a revelation of Jesus, in the sense of a vision now, isn't the same thing as salvation. Receiving a miracle is not the same thing as salvation. It was at this point that the disciples got saved. Is that clear? Is that clear now? It's at this point that they got saved. When they understood the gospel. And they saw in reality that what was promised in the Holy Scriptures has been fulfilled right before their eyes. Is that clear? Is that clear? Very good. So, in John 20, let me just go through some things. John 20. I want to make this a very short first service. Well, I already run foul of my time. John 20. So, how do you receive salvation? Huh? Faith in what? The gospel. Faith in the facts of the gospel. That Christ died for your sins. And he was buried. And is raised from the dead for your justification. That is the gospel. Hearing about the anointing of Jesus is not the gospel. Hearing about Jesus, he's a covenant-keeping God. That's not the gospel. Hearing about how he can turn your desert into a sea is not the gospel. How? Turn me around. What's that song again? I don't know the song. I hear it around, but that is not the gospel. You know, that's why some people don't know the difference between singing a general praise song and a gospel song. A gospel song will have the lyrics in tune with the scriptures as touching what Jesus did. That's a gospel song. There's a general praise song. And say, Almighty God, Almighty God, you will do it again, do it again, do it again. You know, you can sing that in the mosque. But the moment you mention the blood, the Muslim keeps quiet. The cross. He died. He rose. Because that's faith in Christ. Hallelujah. Are you there? You didn't realize the difference. So, in John 20, alright now, learn something. In John 20, the same story, in verse 19, he came in there and he said, peace be unto you. And then in verse 21, peace be unto you as my Father sent me, even so send I you. Then he said, this, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, I retain unto them. Now, let me just quickly tell you this and so that you can do this study on your own. In what happened to the disciples and how they received salvation, only Luke gave the precise account. The other ones just summarized it. We don't read Matthew, we just said some doubted, some saw him, and that's all. They summarized something that happened in 40 days in one verse. Mark just said he upbraided them for their unbelief. Mark 16:14. He didn't give us the details. It was Luke that said he went through all the scriptures. Can you see it? Do you understand? So John summarized it, Mark summarized it, Matthew summarized it, but Luke explained what happened. Let me see if you understand what I just said now. Oh, good, good. So John 20, pay attention, verse 21 and 22 is definitely after they had received the gospel. Because he says, receive the Holy Ghost. Now, when he says, receive ye the Holy Ghost, what he was referring to there was not salvation, what we can call the new birth. Because the next thing he says is, whatsoever sins you remit, I remit unto them. Whatsoever sins you retain, I retain unto them. He's talking about the preaching of the gospel. Which happened after they had believed. Now, Luke puts it in the proper light. Luke 24 and 47. After he had said, it will behove Christ to suffer and then rise again the third day. And now it says in verse 47, and repentance and remission of sins will be preached in his name. Look at Luke 24, 47. Begin at Jerusalem in all nations. 47. Then it says, you are witnesses of these things. 49. Behold, I send unto you what? The promise of my Father. But tarry ye in Jerusalem till you be what? Endued with power from on high. So you see, Luke was the most explicit. Mark just said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Something happened in between. Matthew says, all authority given in heaven and earth, go ye therefore. But these are things that happened in 40 days. 40 days of Jesus taking his time to explain to his disciples the things about himself. So Luke what is the most authoritative as touching when the disciples received salvation. Obviously, it was within the 40 days. Is that very clear, everyone? Acts 1:5. So, pay attention now. John 20:22 and Luke 24:49 will be the same thing. John 20:22 and Luke 24:49. And deal with power from on high. The same thing, Acts 1:5 and Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after with the Holy Ghost is come on you. So they receive salvation the moment they saw that this is the one that was said will die for our sins. He will be buried and raised from the dead. Again, the way to know salvation is to find faith in the gospel. That is so vital, even to his own disciples, his close associates who cast out devils, who healed the sick. They have to have what? Faith in the gospel. That's salvation. When is salvation? When a man exercises faith in Christ alone for salvation. Alone. Faith in Christ alone for salvation alone. Look at the book of Acts. The same thing. Acts 2. After Peter had preached, Acts 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made the same Jesus whom they have crucified, you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. As he said that, their hearts, they just said, wow. Their hearts prompted them. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then he said, repent. The word repent means change your mind. The word repent means what? I've told you what that means. It means change your mind. Repent is not change your behavior. Repent means change your mind. Repent and be ye baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And you shall receive what? Remission of sins. Sorry, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Remission of sins. So, the gospel is preached. What does a man receive? Remission of sins. When the gospel is preached, a man receives what? Remission of sins. Look at verse 41. And they are glad to receive this word. We're baptized the same day. We're added unto them 3,000 souls. Look at verse 44. Let's take verse 44 together. And all that believe, they're one together. That's all this is. All that believe. So you know salvation by what? Faith. You don't know salvation by conduct. Conduct follows after faith, no doubt. But you know salvation by faith. Faith in Christ for the remission of sins. Look at Romans 10. Romans 10. When is salvation? The moment I exercise faith in Christ for the remission of sins alone. That is salvation. Salvation is not faith for something I want. Salvation is not faith for prayers. I won't get my prayers answered. That's not salvation. That's not salvation. Romans 10. I'm going to read from verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend unto heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. And who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ down again from the dead. But what said it? Let's take verse 8 together, let's go. But what said it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Let's take 9 together, totally. If thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, notice what was the salvation. If you will confess the mouth of the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from where? The dead. Thou shalt be saved. That's how salvation is done. You believe in your heart, you say with your mouth. Romans chapter 10, come on. Verse 11. Let's take verse 11 together. Let's go. We're going to read to verse 17. Let's go. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Hold on. Believes on him how? Raised from? Go on. Verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is unto all that call upon, which unto all that call upon him. Verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Hold on. How shall they call on someone they have not believed? Go on. How shall they believe in whom of they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring God tidings of good things. 16. Have they all obeyed the gospel? For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? That's Isaiah 53 verse 1, where he talked about what Jesus did concerning sin. Who has believed our report? Look at 17. Let's go. So then, faith by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The proper translation is by the word of Christ. So faith will be by what? Hearing the message of Christ. Now, what is the message of Christ? How he died for our sins, is buried, and raised again the third day from the dead forever. Simple. Salvation. Hallelujah. Are you out there? That's it. That's why Paul will say, when I came unto you, 1 Corinthians 2:1, it says, I determined not to know anything, verse 2, 2:1 says, I came not in the excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. I determined, 1 Corinthians 2:2, not to know anything among you, except Christ Jesus and him crucified. He said, and my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Verse 5, so that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. In other words, you can have a sermon full of the wisdom of men. Well, appealing to your circumstances, appealing to your situation, said, but not in the power of God. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5. This is where we preach Christ crucified. The Jews think it's a stumbling block. He says the Greeks, the intelligent thing, it doesn't sound intelligent. He said, but unto us, 1 Corinthians 1:24, Christ, the wisdom and the power of God. Are you in church? That's salvation. Acts 5:31. Salvation is that simple faith a man expresses in Christ. It's not conditional. It's that simple faith a man expresses in Christ for salvation from sin. Acts 5:31, him had God exalted with his right hand to be the Prince and the Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Acts 8. Look at that conversation that Philip had with the Enoch. I say it like this. The Enoch, nobody, right? The Enoch, just like every other person, wasn't trying to solve a national problem. He wasn't trying to solve an emotional condition. The Enoch was probably a comfortable person, and many other people, you know, that he preached to. But he was reading the scriptures, Acts 8. Then he asked, Philip, he says, in verse 34, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet of this? Of himself, of some other man. Who is he talking about? So when you go to the scriptures to look for things, you can't see salvation. He said, who is he talking about? Because salvation is in a person. Who is he talking about? The moment you open your Bible, you're looking for something else apart from Christ, you will never know what the scriptures is talking about. Who is he talking about? The next verse, I'm beginning, and Philip opened his mouth, and what did he do? Began at the same scripture, and preached unto him what? Jesus. Have you observed that nobody gave altar calls in the book of Acts? People will respond by faith when they hear the word of faith. The gospel is such that the response is either faith or unbelief. You don't have to come out. If you know that you believe this, if you know it's just a, it may not be bad because you're trying to take records, but that's not salvation. You can come out 20 times, but that's not salvation. Someone else may sit down there and he has believed in his heart. That's the moment they believe in their heart, they will say with their mouth. Are you out there? Acts 10. Acts 10 is such an interesting one. As Peter yet spoke. Acts 10. Are you there? Verse 43. What did Peter say? For him, give all the prophets witness. And through his name, whosoever believes in him shall receive what? Remission of sins. Come on. If you hear that, shall receive remission of sins. Glory, I believe that I receive. In the name of, I believe it died for my sins. I receive remission of sins. As Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. They believed. Faith. Faith. That's all it is. Faith. Look at one more thing. Look at Acts 16. The jailer. Verse 30. Says, what must I do to be saved? Well, depends on what you have been through. Depends on. No, he says. Verse 31. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. You and your house. Now, when he said that, if you got to say, I believe. The point is, what did he hear? Believe the Lord, I believe in Jesus. No. Paul now took time and spoke the word of the Lord to him and his household. You get it? That was when they now believed. You cannot believe what you did not hear. If a sermon was preached without this truth in there, and people came for an altar call, I can tell you of a surety, it wasn't faith for salvation. It must be faith in Christ for salvation. They can feel sorry. They can feel bad. They can surrender all. But until they hear the message that brings faith, it's not salvation. In Acts 17, there were folks at Berea. Educated people, very intelligent people. As Paul preached in verse 11, and those who were more noble than those in Thessalonica, Acts 17:11, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Then they did what? They searched what? How often? Daily, whether those things were so. In other words, they interrogated what Paul preached to them. They checked the scriptures. Can you see that nobody got saved in the book of Acts without the scriptures? Who can see that? Come on, let me see if you see that. Whether from the Old Testament or Jesus' own disciples. From the scriptures. Did you notice again that almost all the sermons in the book of Acts had several scriptures preached, used to preach the gospel? Not just one verse. I'm telling you, is Jesus in your boat? Is he in your boat? He's not in your boat. If he's not in your boat, your boat is empty. Even if you have many fish, your boat is empty. You want him in your boat today to calm the storms of your life. He said to Peter, cast your net to this side. If he's not in your boat, he cannot give you that instruction. Come out. So just get Jesus the pilot, the captain of your boat. That's all you have. Great. Some say you're John the Baptist. Others say you're a pilot. That's not salvation. You search the scriptures, whether those things were so. And look at the next verse. And therefore, many of them believed. What did they believe, church? What did they believe? The scriptures. Salvation is the day you heard the scriptures and you believe in what God said concerning His Son, Jesus. Salvation is not your commitment to God. No. Salvation is believing. I close. Salvation is believing his own commitment to you. Salvation is not giving God something. Salvation is not, Lord, I'll follow you. That's not salvation. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will do. That's not salvation. Oh, I'm bruised, battered. Everything I laid my hands upon has been destroyed. I come to you. That is not salvation. Salvation is faith in Christ alone, for the remission of sins alone. That's salvation. It's not healing. Healing is from God. It's not miracles. Provision, child from God. It's faith in Christ alone for remission of sins
alone.
He died. He was buried. He rose from the dead for my justification. So I am forgiven. I'm reconciled with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saved. That's salvation. It's not your commitment to God. It is His commitment to you that you have believed. Sometimes even those who want to commit themselves to God as salvation, the reason why they miss it is because that's self-righteousness. Paul says, by grace are you saved through faith. Not of your own selves, the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9. Titus 3, 4 and 5. Not by the works of righteousness which we have done. That's what salvation is. And because of the lack of understanding, many don't even know where they were saved. You think where they were saved was when they decided to be committed to church? No. You can be committed to church and you are not saved. You may be saved and yet to be committed to church. Oh, wow, that's it. That was the day I started reading my Bible very strongly. No, that's not salvation. Salvation was the day you saw Him buried for your sins. You saw Him raised from the dead for your justification. The apostles who were with Him for 3.5 years saw it in the scriptures. His own disciples saw it in the scriptures. Paul, who saw Him on the road to Damascus, saw it in the scriptures. All the apostles heard it by the preaching of the gospel. So salvation cannot be separated from the message of the gospel that is in the scriptures. So when is salvation? The moment a man believes in his heart that Jesus Christ is the one that died for his sins. So see, but it's so straightforward. Exactly. That's why it shouldn't be complicated. Look at the fellow who was hung on the cross with Jesus. Say, Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. Know what that means? How can you tell someone who's about to die that he has a kingdom? The guy believed he'll be raised from the dead. And Jesus said to him, I say to you today, you will be with me. For he said, where I am, there you may be also. The guy did not join membership class, though you must. He didn't attend Saints Community Church. He didn't go and live in Word Media. You know, we don't hear anything about. Let's see the fruit of salvation. Come down from the cross. You have to see it. Whether you lose it or retain it. It is salvation because it is Jesus. And it is forever because the Savior forever has saved. That is salvation. You don't keep salvation because you never earned it. And so you don't lose it because you never earned it. Amen. In John 10:28, he says, I give unto them eternal life and they can never perish. He said, no one can snatch them out of my hand. He said, my Father has given all. He said, no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. That's salvation. The reason why many people have doubts is because of what they have believed. What have you believed? What have you believed?
What did you believe? Did you believe in Jesus Christ? If you have, rest your mind, you are saved. When was it? The moment that your faith said, that's my sacrifice for sins. The moment your faith said, he died for me. The moment your faith said, you may not even have all the Greek and Hebrew words and Latin words. You may not even have a thorough understanding of everything, because the apostles themselves, it took them years and years and years to fully understand some truths about salvation, some truths about the gospel, about righteousness, some truths about the Holy Ghost. They grew in knowledge, but there was a fundamental fact that is salvation. I believe in my heart. Jesus Christ died for my sins. He's raised for my justification. I am saved. That's what salvation is. It's not, Lord, I surrender all. That's not salvation. Lord, I will not do it again. That's not salvation. Trust me. Trust me is not salvation. That's not salvation. I trust you. Salvation. And sometimes, there'll be days you'll be shaking in your trust. But you see, the very moment you got into his hands, all your mistrust, all your unfaithfulness concerning him, he holds in his hands. He is your Savior. That is salvation. And you see, many of us have now had different things we've heard from people. Our experiences will change over time. Sometimes it will be a good day, bad day. Sometimes it's hot. Sometimes it's cold. Sometimes you feel like praying. Sometimes you don't feel like praying. Sometimes you feel like, you know, studying the Bible. Sometimes you don't feel like studying the Bible. Sometimes you feel like a Christian. Sometimes you feel like you're not a Christian. But that doesn't change the fact that the moment that you believe in your heart, you said with your mouth, Jesus Christ rose from the dead for my sins. That was it. Come on. Come on. That was it. Your experience may grow. It may change. It may be altered. But your salvation had happened. Until eternity, what has happened has happened. When is salvation? The moment a man sees Christ as the propitiation for his sins. It's not when he sees Christ as a healer. No. He is a healer, no doubt. It's not when he sees miracles. No. It's when he believes in his heart, he died for my sins. And that is why it's the same message applicable to the rich, the poor, those who have good marriages, bad marriages, those who have good jobs and bad jobs, those who are in the government and those who are at grace of society. It changes nothing. The Savior is for everyone. Salvation is not healing. Salvation is not miracles. Salvation is not Jesus calming your storm. Salvation is Christ alone, by faith alone, by grace alone, to the glory of God alone. Amen. You're blessed. Share with your neighbor. Come on. Tell your neighbor where you got saved.